It seems like sometimes in the most inopportune times, God speaks. And so I just encourage you to be ready to listen. You know, oftentimes God's speaking, but we're not listening. We're so preoccupied with the cares of this world. Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Seek first his kingdom. And then all those things that want to pile on and weigh you down, they'll just fade away. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things, whatever your list is, all these things will be added unto you. Anyway, this is what I heard the Lord say, the Holy Spirit. You know, just driving back from Big Lots, you know, just in my daily travels. This is what I heard. He said, there's going to be unexpected, notable, unexpected, exceptional, and unusual miracles. You remember Bill Yount many years ago, some of you? When you hear a word like that, you grab it. That's for me. That's not name it and claim it. That's just, you know, allowing the Word of God a place of faith in our spirit. Notable, unexpected, exceptional, and unusual signs and wonders. They are coming. They are even here by faith. Amen? Well, I'm looking forward to preaching the Word this morning. Hope you're looking forward to receiving the Word this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. Of course, I always forget something, and that's why you have a wife.
Mother's Day. All of you women who are here, whether you're a biological mother or not, we have a gift for you out in the foyer. So please be sure to take a red rose when you leave today. We have plenty. And you know, I was thinking this morning about, you know, God, he said he made them male and female. And he gave males and females different roles and different hearts. You know, men, I can describe my husband taking our 3 and 5 year olds up on a 50-foot railroad bridge as an adventure, okay? Now the mother in me would be like, don't you ever do that again. They were supposed to tell me, you know? But there's the different heart, you know, the father heart. But God gave most of us, you know, we're all a little different, but, you know, gave us a nurturing heart. And that's the heart of God. You know, he has a nurturing side. And whether you have biological children or not, as a woman, you have nurtured somebody. And God honors that in us. He made us that way. And so we just bless all the women today in Jesus' name. And please take a rose and know that you are loved and that he has a perfect purpose for your life, whether you ever hold a child or not. He has precious, precious things for you to do because he made you a woman. You know, he made them male and female. Thank God for the difference. There used to be a French singer, I can't remember his name, like he'd say, vive la différence, you know. Thank heaven for little girls, you know. My mother used to sing that. She had 5 of us, so she thanked heaven for the 5 of us girls and put up with the 5 sons.
Amen. And, you know, it wasn't till after I bought the roses I looked at the variety is freedom. It said on the package. I didn't even notice it when I purchased them. And so I believe there's a message in that for all of us this morning as well. And, of course, I also have something, a little chocolate for you ladies as well. That'll be out there. We have to take it out of the refrigerator and bring it up. But we love you and we appreciate all of you. So for the word this morning, Hebrews chapter 6, it seems like without me planning it, and I don't ever want to plan something, I want God to plan it. You might remember we were in Hebrews the last 2 times I preached, Hebrews 12, and we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6 today. which I didn't know ahead of time. So, starting at verse 9, which in my Bible, the caption starts, "Better things for you." But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. Though we are speaking in this way, and Paul had in the first few verses there kind of laid some people out from about their lifestyle. And so, because he has the Father's heart, he's calling them now beloved and believing for better things, God's power, God's grace, and provision as well. That's what those things that are, some of those things that accompany salvation. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you." And so, having patiently waited, he, Abraham, obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise, that's you and I, his children, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge, where have you taken refuge? At the cross, would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence resides. The cross has given us access to the very presence of Almighty God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where Jesus entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. It's a certainty, like taxes and death, that sooner or later you're going to have to wait. The fact of life. You'll have to wait for someone, something. Sometimes it's a short wait, sometimes it's a long wait. You're going to even have to wait for God sometimes. Any volunteers for a long wait? I think not. However, this is the life we live, and nothing of any lasting significance comes if it comes easy without a sacrifice. And when we're waiting, we are illustrating our submission and service to our King. When we're not grumbling and complaining and reminding God, "Didn't you say?" No, we just stay in that attitude of humility, trusting him, waiting on him, staying and standing in faith, serving him as we are waiting. Morning's message is entitled, Waiting for or Waiting on His Promises. BibleInfo.com states that there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. That's just one source that I found. Another man, Herbert Lockyer, in his book, The Promises in the Bible, claims there are 7,487 promises in the Bible. This Bible, your Bible. Way back on April 22nd, while I was on vacation, I heard these words. Promises spoken, promises fulfilled. Which is really the basis of today's message. Promises spoken and promises fulfilled. Speaking of God's truthfulness, His faithfulness, and His goodness. When He promises something, He delivers. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not even be this month or next year. But one thing you can bank on for sure, if God says something, if God promises something, and when He speaks, it's a promise, it will come to pass. He will fulfill His promises. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Wherefore also by Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And I believe King James renders that, the promises, His promises are yes and amen. Amen being a resounding affirmation that we can count on it. We can depend on Him. We can trust in Him. And so when we wait, not just wait, but wait with the right attitude, which is sometimes difficult, we partner with God in the waiting for the fulfillment of what He promises. And you know, waiting is a process, and it's God's process that He wants to work something into our lives, to teach us something, increase our faith, even change who we think God is. Sometimes we have a faulty understanding. It's called an ungodly belief. We attribute something to God which is absolutely not true. And unawares sometimes, through the culture, some of these things sneak in to our thinking. And so, in this process of waiting, God does His handiwork. He does business with us. And I welcome that, and I hope you do too, because it will form us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. This process of waiting. So not surprisingly, there are five things in this short passage. Number one being wait in hope. How do we partner with Him? We wait in hope. It says in verse 11, the full assurance of hope. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For what? He, the one we serve, the one who loves us and we love, He who has promised is faithful. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. You know, we are in this for the long haul. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, this life, this walking out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. It's a process, and We have to commit that journey all the time to him. Trust him at every step of the way. Look to him for guidance, direction, provision, grace, and power to persevere. Proverbs 3:5, every word of God is tested. The Passion says it this way, every promise from the faithful God is pure and proves to be true. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? That's God's survival kit, if you want to look at it that way. There's no way you could persevere. There's no way you could continue, because we are going to take hits. But he's with us. He goes before us. He's our rear guard. And he leads the way by the Holy Spirit. So we need to stand firm, knowing that our hope in the Lord will bear fruit, will be realized in due time. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. And another verse there in our text in Hebrews 6, verse 18, talks about we have taken hold of a refuge and have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that's set before us. Waiting in hope. Hebrews 7:19. For the Lord made nothing perfect, and on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we can draw near to God. You see, in this process of waiting in hope, by God's design, we can choose. Draw near to him, get stronger in our interaction, in our faith, in our discussions, in our hope. Or we can try to do it our own way. I would not advise that. I've tried that and failed miserably. Wait in hope. Second way we partner with him in waiting is wait in faith. Verse 12 tells us, be imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Romans 4, talking about Abraham here, Romans 4, 20 and 21. Yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. You know, it's one thing to promise something, but it's quite another matter to fulfill that promise. Anybody can promise you something, but God, when he promises, he delivers. But he requires often that we wait in faith. Waiting in faith. And Abraham learned to do that. I suspect it wasn't easy for him. This was a new experience for him as well, in his walk with the Lord. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. John 14:1. Believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying, have faith. It's all going to work out. You may have to wait. It may not happen instantly. And one thing we know in the society we live in, it's instant gratification. Everywhere you turn, they try to sell you something. They tell you that you need this. You should want this. You should want God, the things of God and the provision of God. Jesus said, do not be troubled. John 14:1. Believe in God and believe also in me. Now, some of you may not know this. All of you know Brother Andrew. But you may not know that I've known him for close to 40 years. Our friendship has stood the tests of time. And I've always admired him, his faith, his ministry, his calling. And one day, many, many years ago, God told me I would be one day traveling with Brother Andrew. It was not my idea. And I never spoke to Andrew about it. I just took it as a promise. And I waited in faith for that to be fulfilled. And one day Andrew approached me and said, would you like to come with me to India? And that's when it all began. But that was like 10 years ago. I've known Andrew for 40 years. And God required me to wait, not say to Andrew, look at Andrew, I support your ministry. I sow into your ministry. What's the deal? How come you haven't asked me to travel with you? No, I waited in faith. And I knew God said he will ask you. When the time is right, he will ask you. But wait in faith. I never said to God, was that you, God? Was that really your voice that spoke that? No, I knew it was so. Faith told me so. So I had to wait in faith for the fulfillment and God's timing for that to come to pass. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on this, your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path or make your path straight. Psalms 37, the steps of a man or a woman are ordered or established by the Lord. And he, the Lord, delights in your way. That's what the scripture is saying. God delights in seeing you fulfill your life plan, your walk of faith with him. We have a choice to say no. It won't end well, but we do have that choice always to say no to him and his choice for us. So we need to learn to wait in faith. Not always easy, but it is necessary. If you're going to grow in faith, grow in the things of the Lord, you are certainly going to have to wait in faith at one point or another. The third way we partner with him to waiting on his promises is waiting in patience. Patiently. Not I want patience and I want it now. Oh my goodness, patience is difficult. We all know that. We've all experienced that. We have to wait when we don't want to wait. We set our eyes on something and we want it. We don't want to wait. We want to charge it on the credit card. We want to go out and get it and not regret it. We always have to ask God, is this your choice? Is this your best for me? Even for a helpmate. You know, I remember the years I was lonely. Honestly, I'm just being point blank honest. But I knew once I became a Christian, I made the wrong choices when I wasn't a Christian in the gals that I dated. So I wasn't going to make that mistake again. So I'm so grateful. As you all know, I love her, you love her. At the right time, he brought her into my life. But I had to wait. I absolutely had to wait till I knew that I knew that I knew this was what God had in mind for me for the rest of my life, to live with that woman. She's lived with me in spite of all my rough edges. But I've had to live with her. You know, marriage is a compromise. Marriage can be challenging. But when God's in the middle, it's a three-stranded cord, the Bible says. It's not easily broken. Waiting in patience to inherit the promises. And God said it this way to me yesterday. Access to the promises of God is opened by exercising faith and patience. You know, it's like the promises, they're there. All you have to do is read them in the Bible. But to make them yours, to make them a reality, that requires faith. That requires waiting, and that requires patience. Galatians 5:22 talks about the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Patience being number 4 in Galatians 5:22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. Now, here it is. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, you belong to him? This is what the Bible says. This is good news. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let me paraphrase this. That means you don't always get what you want. We remember the Rolling Stones sang that, but you get what you need. Well, you do get what you need from the Lord. But you don't always get what you want. And you shouldn't get sometimes the things that you want. They're not good for you. So, those that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh in its passions and desires. The flesh doesn't like to wait. Have you found that out? Your flesh does not like to wait. Being patient and waiting is crucifying the flesh. It's submitting to God's timing and God's provision. Colossians 1:10-12. Can't write all the scriptures down here on my paper. 10-12. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and what? Patience. Patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What's the inheritance? God's promises. He's given us that privilege to be partakers of the promises, enter into them, possess them. That's his provision. Now, still in our text in Hebrews chapter 6, it's pointing back to Genesis there, Hebrews 6:15. And so, having patiently waited, referring to Abraham, he obtained the promise. If you go back, we don't need to go there. These verses are not in the lineup. But it's referring back to Genesis 12:4, when God said, I will bless you. He was promising a glorious future to Abraham. Abraham at that point was 75 years old. Isaac was not born until he was 100 years old. He had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of what God spoke, what God promised. So consider yourself fortunate, because most things that God speaks to you, you don't have to wait 25 years. But what happened in those 25 years? God changed his name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of many nations. God worked some things into Abram's life, so much so that his name was changed. God gave him a new name. God has given you a new name, whether you know it or not. He's given you a new name, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It talks about that in Revelation. He left Haran, he left his family, all his relatives, and obeyed the word of the Lord to head towards Canaan. With all that meant, the uncertainty. He didn't know where he was going, the Bible said. He left not knowing where he was going. But it was a walk of, or a journey of faith. And it was a process of being patient, constantly checking in. You know, if you don't check in with God for a week, a month, 2 months, what do you think is going to happen to your spiritual walk or your faith? That's what relationship is. You exchange. You interact. If I walk in the house, my wife says, oh, hello, honey, and I just, bother me, in other words. I don't have to say a word, but I've said something. Right? And I'll pay for it. We have to check in. We have to talk to God. He knows what's going on, but there's something in that exchange. He desires that. And he wants us to desire it, too. And it's that process of being patient. Because sometimes we have to wait. We don't want to wait. So we need to have faith and patience to allow God in his timing to bring about his plan and purposes in our life. Proverbs 30. Verse 5, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. He will deflect those things that are meant to sway you, take you off his track, his path of life for you. And when we're waiting in patience, we will find the right answers. We will find we will hear these words: "This is the way, walk ye in it." Whenever we turn to the left or the right, I don't have that scripture verse, but that's in the Old Testament. So we need faith and patience if we're going to inherit his promises. A fourth way we partner with him in this waiting for the fulfillment of his promises is waiting in and on his word. That could be the word of the printed page here. It could be a word that you hear him speak to you. It could be a prophetic word that God brings somebody into your life to speak something at the exact time you need to hear it. Waiting in and waiting on his word. And I know there's a guy in Michigan right now, you know who you are, JoJo. You've been waiting many, many years for the fulfillment of things God has spoken to you. And I'm telling you this morning, it is worth the wait. Wait in patience. Wait on the word of God. Verse 13 and verse 17 in our text in Hebrews chapter 6 says, when God made or spoke a promise to Abraham, he swore by himself. That doesn't mean he said a swear word. It means he guaranteed the word would come through, come to be true, would come to pass. He swore by himself. Psalms 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your ordinances is everlasting. What does that mean? It stands the test of time. No matter how long it takes, that word that God speaks, that promise that God makes, will come to pass. You can count on it. Waiting on his word. Romans 3. God actually gave me this verse during prayer Thursday night. Little did I know he was going to redirect me to it. Romans 3:3 and 4. What then, if some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, and though every man be found a liar. Every man. But God will be found true. Verse 17 in our text in Hebrews 6 talks about the unchangeableness of his purpose. That word that's translated in the New American, unchangeableness, if you look in your margin in some of your Bibles, it says guaranteed. God's word is guaranteed to come to pass. He spoke with an oath or a word that was guaranteed. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man to lie, or the son of man to repent, or change his mind. He speaks truth. He speaks life. He speaks provision. He speaks promises that will be fulfilled. For our part, we need to take him at his word. You know, sometimes it's outrageous it's actually unbelievable. Some things that God will speak to you or promise to you. And at that point, you have to know that you know the voice of God, you know the character of God, and you know it to be so. And you believe it to be so. Believe what he says and say what you believe. In other words, that's what faith does. It speaks, it reiterates, it spits back what God says, knowing it to be so. Knowing it to be true. Knowing it to be guaranteed. Believe and stand and speak in faith, for he delivers for you. Over and over and over again, he delivers on his promises. And number five, in our partnership, in our waiting in and on God's promises, is wait in his strength and his grace. Don't leave home without it. Verse 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor. As an anchor. Of our soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. That place of a God encounter. That place of him gracing you with a word, with a promise, with his presence, that happens within the veil. That place where we interact, that holy moment that we interact with him, his presence, he speaks. He manifests his love and his grace and his provision to us. In that place. And we leave that place walking in faith, filled with hope, filled with him, knowing we have an unstoppable God. We sing that song. I love that song. Let his glory go on and on, the song says. Not talking about some external thing. It's talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You, me, even with my imperfections, God can still use me. You don't have to understand it, you just have to walk in it. Walking in his strength and grace, because it's an anchor for your soul. Isaiah 40, verse 31, we know that verse. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. It's talking about God unlocking his strength and his grace for you to walk in that which he has designed. On your own, you're going to flop. But Kathy actually read that this morning, that verse. It's twice in the Psalms. Through God we shall do valiantly, it says. It is he who will tread down our enemies. The Bible also says, you will soon crush Satan under whose feet? Under your feet. I would think it would say under God is going to do it under his feet. No, the Bible says you're going to crush Satan under your feet. That's how much he trusts you. That's how much his promises mean to him that he speaks to you and I. The psalmist, David, there's more than one psalmist, but this is David speaking in Psalm 39, verse 7, which reads, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. You are worth the wait, David is saying. Because whatever I need, my hope, my strength, my grace is found in you. It says in that same verse, Hebrews 6:19, sure and steadfast. That Bible, that word in the New Testament is also translated certain, secure, definite, or steadfast. Firm, unalterable, guaranteed. Don't you love it when God makes a promise? Because you know it's guaranteed to come to pass. Doesn't depend on you. Yes, you have to receive it. Yes, you have to wait in faith, wait in patience, wait on His word, enter into His strength. But it will come to pass. Romans 4, 16 and 17. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be accordance with grace, so that the promise, here it is, will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Again, that was a promise God spoke over Abraham's life. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. I love this verse. Because even when there's no evidence, even though you might have zero expectation of it happening, when God speaks, it's a creative act. His voice creates. Think about that. He calls into being something that does not exist. That means when you need something in your life that you don't have, and God speaks it, He's unlocking that provision. Again, through faith, through patience, through His word, through the waiting process. Unalterable, guaranteed. Hebrews 3:14, we are partakers of Christ. What more could a mortal ask for than to tap in to the Son of God? We are partakers. What He has for us. His sons, His daughters. Second Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. For what? For His power is perfected in your weakness. When you think you can't, God says, I can. I can do it. Christ in you, the hope of glory, can do it. You got to change your thinking. You are a spiritual being. Not this fleshly thing that we see, that we carry around in this life, but no, it's what we are. It's the essence of who He created us to be, the spirit man. And He says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Philippians. My grace is sufficient. So we learn to trust in the waiting. We learn to stand. We learn how strong He is. How deep His love, His grace. How awesome his great and magnificent promises are in 1 Peter. But we have to wait in hope. We have to wait in faith. We have to wait in patience. We have to know and wait in and on his word. And then certainly we can't do it without waiting, accessing, tapping into the very strength and grace which God supplies. Close with two verses in Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, he gets pleasure out of seeing you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, to fulfill the calling, to fulfill his plan for your life. He gets pleasure. He's at work in the details. And finally, Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Waiting, waiting, waiting in and on his promises. It's a process. It's a marathon. It's not going to happen instantly a lot of the time. It requires faith. It requires patience. It requires hope. All these things that we talked about this morning. You can know one thing for sure, certain and sure. I was creating a new word there, certain. It's guaranteed. God's promises are guaranteed. They're sure and steadfast. Allow that work of the Holy Spirit to come to the fullest measure of all that God intends for his honor and glory, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.